I got too much, I guess.
Yeah, all right, okay.
So Peggy, did you know if Joe Huck or Supervisor O'Day were going to be able to make it?
They did not indicate to me if they were or not.
Okay. So I see it's 10:05. Why don't we call the meeting to order? So I guess first item on the agenda is citizens' comments. Citizens' comments. Seeing none, let's move to the approval of the minutes from March 14th. I can't believe it's been that long. But do I have a motion?
I wasn't here, so.
I'll move to approve.
Do we have a second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So moved. So I guess we get right into the meat of the meeting, right?
If I can. Mr. Chairman, there is one thing I'd like to revise. On number 5, I have October 21st. That should be November 21st. I actually had a meeting with him yesterday.
Okay.
First, I want to thank you all for indulging this exercise. I know we have to do it twice a year, and you get to listen to me speak about some things that you probably don't care about and you know, really don't affect you somewhat, but it will affect you probably somewhere down the line as well. So thank you very much for letting me take this time. We're at number 4, and the first thing I'd like to talk about is it's called the updated Wisconsin Land Information Program Plan for 2016-2021. This is a copy of the plan. I can send you a copy if you'd like it, but it's just exciting reading, and I know we all want to read all this information. What it does is it's a plan that has been started started in February of this year. And the plan is essentially a roadmap for the Department of Administration in order to try to get goals and to try to get some objectives and initiatives together in order to take grant monies and also retain fees and put those monies towards land information records modernization processes. This plan was developed by a 12-member panel, and that 12-member panel included me, which was kind of nice. I appreciated that very much as the property lister. It's an advisory plan, and it will be solidified in February. And this has gone out to all different kinds of individuals, and it's been vetted. It looks like it's going to go, and it has some good features associated with it. So kind of go into those a little bit. As I stated before, they have fundamental elements that are associated with these things. Within this plan, the DOA collected approximately $6.4 million in 2016. And what they're going to be doing for what they did in 2016 was supply $50,000 grant fees to Kenosha County. And they'll be doing the same for 2017. There'll be a $50,000 grant. In 2018 through 2021, the grant will go from $50,000 to $40,000. The overall plan, as stated before, kind of hits some basic elements. We're talking about monumentation, parcels, what else? Some zoning information as well. So the plan as it exists right now is a guideline. It's advisory only. The Department of Administration has final approval over it. But since the council more or less kind of stated what was needed, I think the Department of Administration is going to go for it.
Yeah, why is it going from 50 to 40 then? I mean, are they moving monies to somewhere else?
The state.
Well, they're keeping more.
They're keeping more, yeah. what they're saying is there's going to be more processing that's going to need to be done. And therefore, the monies are probably going to go down. And they're also anticipating the recording fees for registered deeds to be going down, which is
interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing to do. Yeah, I don't know where they're getting those figures from, but
my guess is they think interest rates will go up, so you have less.
It's a very difficult thing. You know, That may change, but right now they are pretty stuck on that $40,000 amount. I passed out a sheet here that has the green on it. And, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
You got it?
We got it.
You got it? Second one? Okay. And what this, this is kind of a synopsis of what's in this plan. We're looking at three different kinds of data sets. And the first data set is a parcel data set. It's what the DOA, Department of Administration, is requiring you to do. And that includes parcels, zoning, extended parcel information, which is like assessment role information, and GIS mapping. They want to have the GIS mapping done. So they want these elements done first with the funding that you receive in order to move on to the second step.
Along with requiring, for example, zoning data, so is there going to be a coordinating statute change to insist that you get zoning data from municipalities?
No.
Well, that makes it a little difficult, doesn't it?
No. I'll tell you, the Department of Administration is extremely soft on this. Now, the Southeast, I mean, Kenosha is, we are light years ahead of everybody. And that includes, like, Waukesha County and counties like that. So,
light years ahead of Racine?
No, we're never ahead of Racine.
Oh, my God. Did you see their election results?
Anyhow. But this is a kind of a soft sell because of the northern counties that are involved in it, and they don't want to put so much pressure on the northern counties that they aren't able to achieve some of these goals. So, as I stated before, the very first set is the parcels. It has a listing on this sheet showing what the parcel information is. Kenosha County has it done. We had it done a long time ago. So we're past that, and we're able to take funds then and put it towards the second set. The second set is an open data source, and I'll be honest with you, the Department of Administration doesn't really know what they want for a data source.
Of course not.
They are stating right now that there's going to be a timetable. June 2017 is when they should have what the open data set is. And from our discussions, I'm kind of jumping forward a little bit, but from our discussions yesterday, what we'll probably have to provide for an open data source is providing information to what we do right now is the Madison Robinson Library for geography. We supply them with information, and that provides an open data source so people can go in and pull out the data that they want or the data that they need. And it's specific data is like mapping information, assessment information. Tax information may be in there at some point in time. And so that's what they're looking for. And right now, again, this is a very soft thing the Department of Administration is looking for. So they're looking at the metadata. Metadata is what you have available, like parcels, zoning. They want just a classification of what you have. And then after that, they want to be able to find that information on the county website. So it's more or less like a URL that they want. So you'd be able to go in, take a look, and say, okay, this data set exists in Kenosha County. Where can I find it? They have the site where you can find it. You click on the site, it goes to your Kenosha County site, and you got it. So that meets the criteria for the open data source right now.
Okay. So are we done with that too then?
Yeah.
So this is a public site, or is this a site just a state individuals can get access to?
This is a state that the individuals can get to.
So it's a public site.
It's a public site. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So just a couple of questions. I know that Joellen faces this all the time. It's the mining of data that potentially can just consume the entire database because people are out there with
computer programs
that would mine data and take all this data and essentially bring everything to a halt while they're doing this. Is any precautions that we're taking or any limitations as far as I know with the ROD we've said set some provisions in there that people cannot run mining programs against our data
And we've also set limitations on how many parcels they can search before they get booted, and then they have to re-log back in.
Right. No, I can tell you that that hasn't been even considered right now. I imagine I could bring that up to the Department of Administration saying, you know what, if you go to our URL, you know, do that kind of stuff, try to mine the data. Now, I don't know if there's any kind of firewalls on our information saying you can't you can't mine the data, or there's only a limit to how much you can mine. I'm not positive. Is that something that's
Jonathan has set security and the website up
to a point. I mean, we did have a problem with it where it was crashing our website, and we had to the companies that were doing this, we had to terminate their access so that they couldn't. So if you've got an open, I mean, I don't know, you would know better than I, the difference between what we had going on, why we were crashing, and what this public access site is.
I mean, one of the big differences with yours is we actually do have control over who has access to it.
Right.
To the website.
Which, are you talking about access to interactive mapping then?
Yeah, like to interactive mapping to, well, we have school district information and things like that that they're looking to grab as well.
Okay.
Now, again, I'm going to jump a little bit ahead here. I don't know if this would work if we could put certain types of information on like an FTP site, and then they could actually grab the information off the FTP site instead of going directly to our servers.
Well, there's different ways to approach that. But, you know, one of the questions I have with this is, there any consistent standardization on how they want this data formatted between the counties? Because if I'm going to Kenosha and getting this data set, and then I'm going out to Waukesha and getting another data set that's a completely different format, then it's significantly more challenging for anyone to do anything with it. But you know, if it's pulling, if we're just talking the stuff that's interactive mapping, that's
like I said, they're taking very slow steps, DOAs, and you know, they're trying to consider consistency and trying to get some kind of a product that, you know, has standards, but they're not there.
I guess I'm wondering what the state wants to do with the data. I mean, if they want to, you know, sounds like they want bulk data, they want all the parcel numbers and all the data and all the parcel numbers. What is their end goal with all this data?
They're creating a statewide database.
For?
For access for anybody to go through, to go across county boundaries. So if you have, my big thing that came through is like a tornado. It goes through Walworth County, to, you know, Racine County, and part of Kenosha. So then you can grab the information that's associated with each one of those counties.
Without having to go into each county's
database. Without
having
to go into each county and trying to figure it out. Now, that's good.
That's good for maybe from a government standpoint, but is that going to be restricted to government use, or is that going to be open to the public? How is that going to affect the bigger picture?
A lot of good questions. The way I understand it, it's going to be open to the public, but it shouldn't be.
I think one of my concerns is that how often are they going to be updating their information? Because as we all know, this stuff changes on a daily basis because we're constantly getting new owners, splits and combinations, all of those fun things. So that would be one of my concerns. Second of all, if they are updating it on, say, a daily basis or a weekly basis, how much is that going to bog down our website if they're going onto our website and grabbing data every day or every week or whatever, so that other users who are using it for what I would say is a very legitimate purpose can't get to the information that they need?
Again, you know, it hasn't been solidified, I'll tell you that much, but right now what they're proposing is every year you get a new database.
So basically it's obsolete.
Right. It's obsolete. Well, it's obsolete the moment, the day that we give it to them. And, that's why this should be a general process, I think, for the state, so they can get general information in order to do something rather than specific. But the state wants everything in the world, including your shoe size. Okay. So what they're going to be doing with it is a very good question. But anyhow, it's you know, I think what we could probably do is put stuff out on a quarterly basis. But the question is, do we need to do that, or should we do that if it's not mandated at this time?
Well, I guess from an emergency management point, you guys would use our data because it's up to date, right? And I would assume in a tornado-like situation, you would work with, you know, the Walworth County people or the Racine County people, and you would be sharing up-to-date stuff. You wouldn't go to the state stuff that's
right,
old.
Right.
That's potentially a year stale.
And they're usually seeking it from us. The most important thing I can think of for this would be damage assessments. Mm-hmm. The more accurate information they get, the more quickly they can get that federal designation as a disaster.
Yeah.
That means money coming in.
So do you guys use assessment information when you do that? Or
Usually it's just to identify the parcels or property involved so we can actually go out and send the teams to do a determination. It'd have to be done on site. We couldn't pull that data right off the. Just gives us an idea of where to go and how to collate that
information. How many owners you're talking about.
Yeah. And they're mostly interested in what's insured and what isn't, too. But I don't know that that information.
Yeah, we don't know that.
And so this open data set is, a big question that's out there. How the information is to be transferred, what information is to be transferred, how often is it supposed to be updated? All big questions. But right now they want something that's so simple. I mean, all they want to know is, you know, the metadata. What do you have? And you know, can you ship us something in order to have some way to access that data? You know, if an individual goes to the state site and wants to take a look at Kenosha data for elections. So it's a real simple process, I believe. Now, of course, I've got an IT guy and crashing sites and stuff like that. So
Say if they only want it once a year, we just send them the stuff once a year, and
right.
then we don't have to deal with their access or anything like
right.
that.
Right.
So next steps on this, Al, is the DOA dealing with all 72 LIOs on this, or is it smaller subset of the council that you're a member of? Or?
Again, I'm jumping a little bit, and it's actually going to be the LIOs will get first crack at it. There's a survey that's being conducted, and the survey is going out in December, and it will address some of these issues, like what open data is or what people want to see as open data, and I guess maybe I didn't answer your question completely with that one, but that's kind of the LIOs will take first crack at it. Then it'll go to stakeholders. What is a stakeholder? Well, definitely registered deeds is a stakeholder. Treasurers, they don't consider you a stakeholder. I don't know why.
You got to be kidding.
But
no,
surveyors are stakeholders.
It's hilarious.
And I would think that they'd send it to emergency governments as well. And so that would be vetted through them as well, and they could take a look and see what kind of features they'd like to have as an open data source, and then supply that back to the Department of Administration and also to the council. And we'd look at the 500 pages that come in, and none of them are going to be consistent, and so it's going to be a very interesting process to try to sift through all that information to see what's important, what's not important, and try to move forward on that with those objectives.
Okay. So do you think there's going to be more information in the first or second quarter of 2017 as far as this all means?
They plan on putting out the survey in December, and they want to have everything back by February. The Wisconsin Land Information Association has their annual conference in February, and that's where most of the information is brought forward. Now, the actual decisions that are made on what is important data and what's not important data will probably be made in June of 2017, and then those aspects won't be put forward until the grant for 2018. So we're talking about a long process, again a slow process, and this is not for us. I mean, we could just put the stuff out there probably within a couple months, 2 or 3 months, but it's again the northern counties they want to take care of.
Well, I just see huge holes in the data. Like, if they want zoning data for every municipality in the state, and they want it by June of 2017, they're not going to have it. Most counties don't have any zoning data because they're not attached to the municipalities in any way. So
that is if you have the data.
Okay.
And, again, jumping forward a little bit, too, is zoning data is not consistent with any county.
No.
And even not within municipalities.
No.
So, I mean, we'll be supplying data to the state, which they will not be able to use. But it's at least something that they say it's a requirement. You got to shoot it out there. We're going to give it to them. And they're going to look at it, and they're going to go, now what do we do? And so,
I only have 300 municipalities worth of zoning data.
Yeah, exactly right. So department administration is kind of all over the place on this. We made recommendations for basic foundational elements. And then the department administration wants to get, well, we want more. And so they throw these things out there. And the council's saying, you know, you shouldn't do this because it's not data that has any kind of referencing. But the department administration is the overall authority on this. So all we can do is advise. And then the department administration makes those decisions.
Okay. So there's no opportunity for us to influence direction outside of the council at this point?
The survey that will be coming through will be one way to influence the department administration on what should be looked at, what are totally irrelevant. So
that survey is going to come to you or Joe Ellen?
It will come to the land information officers first.
Okay.
And then make our recommendations. Then it will go out to stakeholders probably in February after it's been gone through and vetted in the Wisconsin Land Information Association. And then the other stakeholders will receive it and be able to make comments. And then in June, there'll be a plan that is kind of solidified and saying these are the elements that we're going to need for our open data source to carry forward for the 2018 grants, which I believe October.
So then just jumping in a little bit then, so like between when you fill it out and when you guys fill it out, would there need to be some discussion so that we are saying the same thing from Kenosha County?
That's a possibility, yeah. I think that'd be a good idea. We have an April meeting. We usually have an April meeting, I should say, and at that time would probably be a good idea to go through some of those ideas that were brought up in February.
So I think just a couple of thoughts on this. Once we get to the position that we better understand this, I think it would be important for the county executive's office to understand what type of information is being published and available, how it's being used, as well as the county board. So just, a quick, presentation to the county board, this is the process that we're going through, this is the history behind it, this is really what it means. And,
I'll tell you that the Department of Administration hides behind two things, and that is Act 20, which basically says they can get the information that they need from the counties in order to create a statewide map.
Parcel map.
Excuse me, statewide parcel map. You're absolutely right. And then also open records laws.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, I don't want to say they hide behind that, but I think that's what they usually use as their force in order to say, well, you have to provide this data to us because of these.
Here's what I'm saying to them is that, all right, you can have the data, but you better put on there when the data is accurate as. Because, nothing irks me more than having bad data out for the public to consume. And that's what they're going to be doing. Because if they're going to put out the data we give them out for the public to use, they have to put a date on there saying that this was accurate as of, 1/20/2017. Because I don't want those people at my front counter screaming at me that they got this data and why isn't it right? I got that now and it's right within 24 hours. So I don't want it right, wrong for a year, So I would say we definitely have to stress that they have to have some sort of a date on that data if they're giving it out for public consumption. If it's just for them to use and they know that and they recognize that when they use it, that's one thing. But if they're putting it out on a website for the public to use, they need to let the public know they've got bad data.
And you are 100% correct. And one of the things that they don't want is any kind of licenses that are associated with it, but they would say, yes, if you have a caveat on your information, and if you want to put that caveat on your data that you have, it will appear. So you will be able to say, okay, this is only good as of yesterday. that is something that they have taken into consideration and can do. How they'll move forward with it is kind of up in the air. Okay. Is there anything else on this open data source? I'll touch on this a little bit more. Third set that we have includes, it's kind of a mishmash. It's pick your own, do what you need to do. It talks about aerial photography. It talks about LIDAR. It also has public land survey system on there. And then they have other products that they're looking at, and those are also like things we already have. They're looking for land use maps in the future. They're looking for building information. They want a what is called a PA 500 record card, which is what the assessors have, and they put all their building information on it. And we have a great majority of that information already in Kenosha. So, like, you know, I as I stated to begin with, we are light years ahead of everybody else. And so we have probably met a lot of these criteria. The one thing we haven't met right now, but we are working with SewerPAC and Mr. Marion, and that is the updating of our coordinate system for monumentation. And once we get that done, we're pretty much kind of met all the specs. So we might be able to take those funds in the future and start applying those to projects that are have to be land-related, but then can be moved to different kinds of objectives rather than just saying, okay, we're going to update the monumentation program, we're going to do, you know, certain things. It's just, you know, it's a little bit more freeform and what we might be able to use those funds for.
So just a comment, just you've said we're light years ahead of other counties, other organizations. I think we should qualify that as far as what we have done. You know, we haven't, you know, I don't think that we have misspent county funds, you know, doing things that are inappropriate. You know, I think we've had a systematic approach to providing information. Some of the requirements that we have are above some of the other counties' requirements as far as orthophotography, those type of things. And,
yes,
and you know, we've done a very good job as far as getting the best information out for our constituents that we can.
Well, I think we're also ahead because we're the only county that had countywide assessing. So we got so much more data because we were the assessor for 20 years that other counties don't see. They never had building data because they were never an assessor, and that normally goes along with the assessing hand. So I think we kind of had a jump start over other counties because of countywide assessing. So I think that kind of gave us that little leapfrog to start to be ahead of everybody else on that.
And if I may add to that too, what was really important too is that we kept going with that information as well. So we didn't stop when we still had that stale data. We've moved forward with it and got that new information from the assessors. We were able to work with them, and they were able to provide that information to us. So we are actually more up to, you know, we're up to date. Not only do we have the data, we have the data that is current. So that's a
well, plus we had the CALM group, which was almost like a precursor of this group that met for 10 plus years prior. And so we were really already doing all that stuff. So that's why we're light years ahead, because we already had that vision that this was important to the county. And so that's the steps that we've all taken.
And it is fantastic. CALM is fantastic because instead of fighting between departments, we're actually working together, all together. And I think that is something that is lacking in a lot of other counties.
I'm telling you, you listen to some other counties talk about it.
Don't you?
And there are other counties where the treasurer and the registry of deeds and the lister don't even talk to each other.
No.
About anything. So, I mean, the idea that we have that history here, I think, has really helped us go forward. And think how much it's helped us with economic development. And I think that's how we've always kind of looked at it, was this idea that having that accurate information on land and what's available and accurately describing it and all of that is puts us ahead when somebody comes into our community and wants to know what's out there and wants an accurate description of what's out there and a overhead picture of what's out there. And so I think it's really put us in a good position for this coming out of the recession time that we're in right now. So,
and what you stated previously, Terry, I think was an excellent point though too, as far as the staleness of data. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have a developer who's looking at doing something and they go to the state site, I mean, they're going to be looking at data that is not current, you know. Amazon may not be there.
Exactly.
You know? It's one of those kind of things. And you definitely want to see that you have a huge business that is coming into the Kenosha area. So even though they have good intentions, I don't think the state is really looking at the overall picture sometimes of the local business economy.
Okay. So I just, you know, I just want to make sure that, you know, we're viewed as being fiscally responsible. We don't have a Cadillac when a Chevy would do.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we're doing the right things. We're providing the right information. We've had a long-term approach to gathering the information that the different organizations require. And that's put us in a position that is ahead of many other counties, right?
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. You summed it up perfectly, I think. You really did. Mm-hmm. So, anything else that we want to talk about as far as this is concerned?
I think it's just kind of funny that they're expected to get this information in a useful way from all of these counties with no statutory change whatsoever require anybody to give it to them or to give it to the counties. So I think that's adorable.
As I stated before, the vote on this actual program, which is kind of setting the basis for these different kinds of data sets, will be in February. And right now, there's no resistance on it that I can see. The important features, of course, of this are the funding, the grant funding, the amounts that are going to be going, the basic elements that we need to fulfill, which are here, which Kenosha, like I said, except for the one for the monumentation, Kenosha has in time in place, and the timetable. And the timetable is pushed out there quite a ways. I mean, we're talking for the second set of data for June 2017, they're just supposed to be getting that information. Much of that data that we have, what they're requesting for open data sources, we already have.
Well, so. In the June 2017 ones, they're just defining what they should
exactly
look like.
Exactly right. Like I said, they're taking very small steps, and you know, Kenosha has, as you said, had a game plan all along and moved forward with it, and we are just, you know, we're here, and everybody else is kind of sitting back here. Maybe I'm a little biased on that, but I really think that's the way it is.
Well, you know, I think it's okay to be proud of, you know, the achievements that we've made and how we've approached things in the past. So.
Thank you. I'd like to go to number six then, or number five. We had a discussion, we being the Land Information Council for the Department of Administration, a discussion yesterday about the survey itself that's going to be going out and what different kinds of information is going to be put out there. And the open data source was one large portion of it. And I kind of bounced back and forth, but the open data source itself are certain characteristics that the Department of Administration is looking for. A lot of them we have. The timetable right now, what we need to do for that open data source is just say, well, these are the elements we have, and you know, this is how you can get them. So I'm kind of repeating myself a little bit, but that was what this discussion was about. More or less how the survey is going to be set up, how the survey is going to go out, what information is going to be put on the survey. And it's pretty standard to what I had in set 1, 2, and 3. One of the things that they did mention is aerial imagery. They want update imagery as of every 6 years. We flew our imagery in 2015, so the next time they are required to get that data, or they insist on getting that data, is in 2021. So we have plenty of time to, you know, take funds and either put them aside or just keep that out there.
So basically redo the aerials every 5 years so that they could get it in six?
Or, you know, what we may even do, since there's so much development that's happening, is we may try to do it every 3 years. And then, you know, somehow or another, take some of those funds for certain years and divide it over a couple-year period of time.
Is there a way, or is there any economic viability to the idea of only doing additional in-between flybys in the areas that we're seeing development in? I mean, you know, there are some areas that, while the tenant may change, the layout of the property and the overhead is fairly similar all the way around. But then there are other areas that, you know, every 2 years would be like, okay, we got to do this. I don't know. Does it cost the same if you do it all or if you only do part of it? I don't know how that works.
That's a question I can't answer.
Okay.
You know, I'm assuming it's going to be less. You're going to have to pick out the areas that you want, how much they're going to charge you.
I don't know.
Yeah, it depends how much less, I guess, would be the question, whether or not you do it all or only some of it.
Exactly.
So, Scott, didn't we check on that once?
Yeah, so I do think that we've talked about the importance of updating the I-94 corridor.
Right, yeah.
Because of all the development and maybe some of the things out in Salem now.
Right.
With the business park, they also require some more attention. I think that's something that was in the back of your mind, or
yes, it was.
Front of your mind, as far as how we get this up to date and keep it valuable and meaningful.
And then you've got the Chrysler property in the middle of the city.
Yep.
They're going to put a couple new roads.
And it's like not necessarily going to be the same area. I think I-94 is, you know, the hotbed right now. But I could move west. That could move east, depending on where development kind of happens.
But we did talk about trying to figure out, is it possible where we can give them key areas where they could just photo those areas only. But I don't think we got far enough along that we got any pricing, just that we thought that that's what we wanted to do.
All right. How often do you what is your schedule? Is every other year?
It's a five-year schedule.
Every 5 years?
Yep,
okay.
Every 5 years right now. But like I said, there's so much going on and so much development.
Right.
I think you want to keep your aerial photos current so that you can show the businesses that are coming in, especially along the I-94 corridor.
Well, I think every 5 years would be a minimum, really. There's a lot going, so much going on.
That's why, you know, the thought is possibly doing it every 3 years. But like you said, maybe 3 years on different corridors that are really being active.
Right. So what is the cost of this, Al?
I'm going to turn this, and I'm going to look at Rob, and I'm going to say, Rob, do you have anything that you might be able to kind of put forward on this?
Well, I mean, the only thing that I would offer up, I mean, working in aerial imagery and aerial photography before, your economies of scale is going to be dramatically different, because if you're looking at certain areas and just updating certain areas, that's going to add for additional time to try to piece in, you know, those areas that have been collected. The other issue you have is also trying to, you know, as far as to blend in areas that now that haven't or were not collected to the areas that are going to be collected. So there's going to be, you know, tonal differences and things of that sort that would have some appearances that would might be differing, you know, that would looks almost as patchwork, so to speak.
One might be a little greener, one might be yellower.
you're trying to fly it at a certain period of time. Well, the grass is differing colors, and you're going to have some differing things. So it's going to have, as you look outwardly over across the county, it might be a bit of a patchwork. So there might be some appearance differences that might be associated with it. But those are the two, you know, the two critical aspects is, you know, the cost that would be associated with flying smaller areas instead of a countywide data set, and those tonal appearances based on those update areas.
And then the other thing is probably, don't we currently do this in cooperation with Sewer Pack? So we're doing it with other counties at the same time, right? So if we were the only one that opted to do it every 2 years, that would change the pricing probably fairly drastically too?
It might. We had a contract with Pictometry, and Pictometry wants to have larger counties in the state do work with their product. And I think we might be able to get some kind of a break from them if we do it every 3 years.
Okay.
And also, because we are a larger county and they want to be able to bring us on board, that way it might be able to influence other counties as well. But that's just, you know, conjecture on my part.
I just wanted to interject. I'm kind of leaning more towards the three-year concept, because I guess what concerns me is we all know I-94 is the big daddy, and that's mm-hmm. the one. But I worry about doing a piecemeal approach to this, because it's not just I-94 anymore. Right. I'm looking at Five Star growing out near Twin Lakes now. They're building on a new whole new section of their facility. It's not just I-94 anymore, though that's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't we be better off approaching it from a three-year there, where we get everything and we're not trying to cherry pick the little development areas? Now I'm even hearing they're going to be doing more development in summers. I don't know if it's been announced yet, but there's two big companies coming mm-hmm. in that nobody's talking about. But I don't know if it's been released.
I agree with you 100%, because I think if you could do I-94, you should do all the main roads coming and going to the lake.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And the downtown's going to change in the next 5 years,
yep,
too.
Yeah. I-94 is just
big time.
Just the arterial route. It's what's the companies are coming in to get to I-94.
So, you know, if we plan on doing it 3 years from now, if development changes in 10 years where we get like this slowdown like we had during the recession again, we could go back to a 5-year during that period, right? There's nothing that says that we have to do it 3 years all the time, but when it makes sense to do 3 years, you do 3 years, right?
And what we might be able to look at too is a 3-year period of time. We may, you know, I'd love to do the whole county that much, but in a 3-year period of time, we could probably do that. And then the 5-year period of time, sometimes Southeast Wisconsin Regional Planning is able to go in with other counties and get some grant monies to do some of the area photos. So we might be able to do it 3 and 5. And 3 years, we may take a little bit of a hit, and maybe we just want to do specific areas. Although the whole concept of doing everything is great, don't get me wrong there. But then after the 5-year period of time, we might be able to get grant monies from sewer PAC in order to and other counties as well going in to be able to augment some of those costs.
I mean, I think we'd have to get some numbers to see what makes sense
exactly
when,
right.
And you know, if there's not a decent savings piecemealing it, then it doesn't seem to make sense. You know what I mean?
But if Pictrometry came in with a gravy offer, I mean, I think
you go for it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You might also with obliques to, you know, to change, you know, the 3 years is just straight nadir photography imagery, and then 5 years is
so you do
oblique
the obliques
and.
Oh, okay. So you just eliminate the obliques. And of course, they just threw those in last time.
Oh, they
quote,
did?
Quote, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
I don't have access.
So it kind of sounds as though, you know, I heard some caveats with what Rob was saying. I was trying to read between the lines a little bit here that there are some limitations if we do try to do a piecemeal approach, and it may not be the product that we're looking for at the end. There may be additional costs as far as the integration of those images into our existing system that we have. So hearing some of the comments around the table, it's you know, I'm hearing there is a preference that we should probably explore a more frequent update of the aerial imagery that we have, taking into consideration the development that's going on in the county and some of the changes. So, you know, I think, you know, I'm in agreement that that's something that we should take a look at. I can't remember the budget for pictometry, but in the greater scheme of things, you know, if it's $100,000 or whatever it is, you know, that's something that we can probably, you know, take to the county board for approval or finance and talk about the benefits, the values, why we need to do this, and get it moved forward.
So, I mean, even if we do the flyovers every 5 years, really the data becomes like 6 years, because it takes so long to do that back end work after you do the flyover. That
exactly right there. Yeah.
So Al, being that the 50 and the 50 are being used for the switchover, would the 40 in 2018 be available as monies that could be used for another aerial?
Another, yeah, it could be. You know, I don't want to get to that
funding,
point.
Sure, then.
Sure. I don't want to get to that point where, you know, our office land information is basically saying, yeah, you know what, it's all ours. I don't want to do that. You know, it's
no,
not
but I'm
open
we're,
to everybody.
As a group, we're talking about it, but
exactly.
that could be funding.
Right. That could be
there.
Exactly.
And I guess what I would maybe add on to you, Marty, is that because budgets have to be submitted, you know, so early next year, is too early to talk about this. Is really not too early, because if you want to have funding for 2018 flight, we have to talk now and be ready to put it in for next, you know, June, July.
Absolutely.
If I may just go to Scott for a second here. Do you remember the cost of the aerial photos for pictometry this past time?
Exactly. It was, I believe, north of $100,000.
Okay. And that include the obliques as well, too. Okay. We need to talk about the obliques sometime in the future.
So maybe in the spring, March or April, we can talk about here's
so maybe get some numbers.
Yeah.
And
in that period of time, too, we can talk to, in fact, we're talking to pictometry today, and we can talk to them and see if they might be able to give us some kind of a soft quote on something like that.
Yeah.
Not being able to estimate what's going to happen 3 years down the road.
Good to talk about.
But I think, you know, what I'm hearing, the preference is the entire county.
Yes.
Not trying to piecemeal it.
And again, I think for every purposes, it's going to be great. You know, it's going to be great for law enforcement. It's going to be great for businesses. You know, I really think that is a good thing.
And what John was just saying, too, is like with CABA, you know,
oh, gosh,
they benefit tremendously, and that's another aspect that there could be some economic development funding through them that we could get. That's another avenue that I don't think we've ever pursued before.
True. Good point. Okay, I'm still working on number five. We talked about aerial imaging, the open data source, LIDAR, which is
light detection and ranging.
Light detection and ranging. Thank you so much. And what that is kind of the topography of the land and the elevations of the land, actually taking a view of that. The Department of Administration is asking that it be no older than 8 years. I believe our last LIDAR was done in 2010.
Mm-hmm. So we're deep, is what you're saying?
Well, yes. What is kind of nice right now is, it was a great opportunity, is that actually Scott received a call from Lake County, and Lake County wanted to do a project with LIDAR, and they were going to fly the south half of Kenosha for doing some of their project and also taking up some of the area so that they could actually get more money in grant monies. That would leave Kenosha with only having to fly the northern half of the county to get the LIDAR. And they were going to be using, I'm going to refer to Rob on this, but a type of system which is actually used by the Department of Defense. So it's kind of a new product, but it should be, you would think it would be something that is a little more futuristic, a little bit better quality, maybe a little bit better accuracy of information. I can't tell you that for sure. But.
Well, I mean, it's called a Geiger mode LIDAR. And instead of a traditional LIDAR sensor is a laser pulsing at a very high rate. And instead, what it does is it hits this chip and it scatters these light pulses on the ground. So the benefit you have is instead of a single pulse hitting the ground at a certain interval of, say, 2 to 3 feet, you'll get a series of points that are now 2 to 3 tenths of a foot instead of at these point intervals. So the idea and the concept is they can fly higher, still get a greater point density, so you're flying more efficient over a given area and still having a very dense data set that you're getting. In the Chicagoland area, it's very beneficial because of flying in O'Hare airspace. You can fly at a higher altitude, get a greater density, and still, so you'll have a greater benefit for determining topology. So the accuracy of a linear system versus a Geiger mode is about the same. So vertical accuracy is no different. However, the spatial, as far as covering points over the surface, so buildings and other features are going to be better defined. So if you're looking at topology, it hasn't really changed. But there will be other supplemental benefits down the road that you can take LIDAR and now determine building footprints and determine vegetation growths and identifying, more of a deciduous or coniferous species to help characterize and better characterize your land, land area. So it's actually a nice new technological tool that is out there that we're taking advantage of at this point in time.
So do you normally do LIDAR when you're doing aerial photography at the same time, or is this a separate plane with separate gear?
Separate plane, separate gear.
All right.
But they need each other.
No, they don't. They're independent of each other.
But from what's needed then for orthophotography to be able to drape it?
You need an elevation model, but an elevation model can be used with LIDAR. LIDAR can be utilized, but it also LiDAR or an elevation model can be acquired from the imagery.
Yeah.
By stereo, stereo photography or stereo imagery. So
different camera angles.
It is. It's a different sensors. So the imagery is looking at native light, whereas the LiDAR system is an active sensor and it's a laser and it's on an infrared as far as
kind of like that cool laser measuring thing I got marked for Christmas.
Yeah, well, there,
got it.
Make our blaster.
The question now is, when are we getting it?
Well, hopefully it'll be. Well, this is a good thing,
right,
Rob. Again, I mean, I look at you and I say, well.
Well, we had to have had some changes with all the digging around and moving stuff they've been doing with I-84 and Highway 50, and there have been a few of those kind of things, right?
And just to jump in is that we were hoping that we were going to get LiDAR for I-94, but we didn't, right? So when we were talking about that last time, when we thought that we were going to be able to get that flown for all the changes, we didn't get that. So that's another reason why it's important again.
Right. Okay. There's the benefit we have is, Northeast Illinois is flying the north or the southern half of Kenosha County. So the north half, we're trying to take advantage of a grant or assistance by USGS.
Okay.
They will be paying a percentage, roughly about 35% of the north half of Kenosha.
So is that going to be the Geiger thing too, or is that going to be the other one? Okay.
Yes.
I was worried about those two matching together otherwise.
What they're looking at, the challenge right now is with the USGS is that they had USGS approved the assistance for Northeast Illinois in 2015, but they didn't get it flown in 2016. So they're going to be flying it in 2017. Now, we're jumping on to do in 2017 to get the north half of Kenosha County. The issue is the contracts are separate. So we're trying to work with USGS into getting the contracts to line so we can make sure that it's flown. The contractor who is flying is Harris, which is the guy who owns the Geiger mode sensor, is already on board and understands this is going to be one project for them. It's just how to handle it with USGS at this point in time is working together. That will be a selection. We made the application back in the end of the beginning of October, and we're to hear from them beginning of December as to whether or not we've been awarded. It sounds there's discussions in hopes that we can so they're trying to work out some of the logistics, but we'll know very soon if as to whether or not we're awarded.
Yo, I have a question. Will the LiDAR provide information on some of the bluff erosion issues we have on the North Shore with some properties there that have been in danger and could, experience more erosion? And I'm wondering if LiDAR will reveal that or provide data on that.
Absolutely. I've done this with Milwaukee County, and having two different data sets, you can now have two snapshots in time, so you can now take the elevation data from that LiDAR data that was collected in 2010 and then subtract it from the data that's collected now in 2017 and then do an elevation difference. And you'll have now be able to show it graphically and show it also by like contours or by a triangulated surface and show the regression and show you're going to have areas where there might be where the bluff erodes and now piles up, so you'll see the piling up of land, as it is showing as a plus, but then you'll show the differences as a minus. And you can create profiles and or other means to look at in a side view as to how and where this material is moving or changing from one time to another time.
My concern is if the lake levels continue the way they are, if they do increase, I think this is a problem we are going to revisit. Thankfully, we haven't had to deal with it the way Mount Pleasant has. They're actually having exposure of utilities sticking out.
Oh,
I mean,
oh,
it's
wow.
That bad up there because they develop so close to the bluffs.
Okay.
But we just have a few properties. My concern is that if it gets worse, we need to know what's going on there. You know, in order for us to take some armoring action or something.
Sure. No, and those are definite, as far as assessments or, you know, being able to evaluate and analyze the information that's being collected. Those are one of the, I think, the critical benefits that you can look at is where is erosion occurring and how, where are the concerns, and looking at time as a function.
So if I understood you right, you said the contractor's already anticipating continuing his project up into Kenosha, or?
The northern part of Kenosha.
He's treating it as one project, but USPS is the issue where the contracts are coming from two different contract vehicles.
He's trying to time it so he only does one flyby for
exactly.
both contracts.
What about the funding?
Right. So you talked about some assistance. You're applying for funding for 35%, hopefully to cover 35% of the northern piece of this, right?
Yes.
Yes, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So where is the other 65% going to come from, and how big of a nut is that?
Well, is it the USGS grant that we may get?
Yes.
We're looking at a possible USGS federal grant for the northern part of that. We're having another $5,000, which the state is kicking in as well. Is that part of it?
Yes.
Okay, another $5,000 that's kicking in. So we're hoping that the total cost will be somewhere around, if we get those grants and the monies, will be somewhere around $35,000 for us. $29,000 for us. So we're looking at
for the county.
For the county. Last time we ran LIDAR in 2010, it was $157,000.
Mm. Woohoo!
Wow, that's a huge savings.
Mark down half price.
Yeah. So I mean, we're looking at a substantial gain, and that really helped because Illinois is picking up the southern half of it. And then plus, if we do get this thing flown, and it's flown, of course, in 2018, it's got 8 years to go. You're looking at 2026 before you even have to consider it again.
So is that the fly time is 2018?
17.
That's 2017. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
2017. My fault.
So do we have the funding for that then?
Yeah, I put the 29? Funding in. I put the funding in for 35.
Okay.
Now, Rob says we may have some issues with the USGS, and if that's the case, then it may jump up to about 50,000.
Yeah.
So that may be somewhat of an issue, but I don't think it will be, because Rob says he's going to get it for us. And I believe Rob.
I'm writing it down.
Rob says.
Find it somewhere.
But I think it's an important feature, and we saw it from emergency government, and I know Andy would absolutely, you know.
Well, I think it's great.
Want this
huge.
Mm-hmm. Especially combined with the ortho stuff that we've got going on, because I know I've had guys call me complaining about not wanting to pay their property tax bill because their property's underwater. And then you look at the aerial photos, and you're like, yeah, as I go back in time on the website, the last time it actually I could see actual land was, you know, the 19, what is it, 30 whatever
Seven.
One that we have. Yeah. That's the last time I could see land on that area, because it was one of those lakefront properties. But it's like, so yeah, you've got a point. If you don't want,
but then again, economic development is a big key, because when developers are coming into the county, they can get this data and they can run and do a lot of their engineering up
yes.
front, and they can
that's
do a
correct.
Tremendous amount of it
yep.
where they wouldn't be able to do it in air. So again, that's a huge advantage for us.
Yes.
So do our other counties up to date on LIDAR, so to speak, or is this a fairly common thing that you do it when you have to do it?
Maybe you can handle the seven county area. Yeah.
Well, the seven county area, 2015
was our year.
Was a big year for the five of the seven counties. Racine has also taken advantage of trying to tap into this with the Skyger, and that would complete the that would complete the whole southeast area.
Okay.
And generally speaking, you know, the rest of the counties, just from past experience, it's kind of it's hit or miss. It just really depends on A, if there's funds available, and B, if there's they've seen a benefit in needing, in requiring, you know, topo data and the use of LiDAR.
And again, I don't think this is something that has to be done, you know, immediately. They're looking at this plan being implemented in 2019, I believe, for the LiDAR. So we actually have that period of time to say, okay, what, our LiDAR is good up until 2019, and then, you know, we have the eight-year period of time after that. Anything else?
Nope. Very good.
Okay. I have to say this because it kind of makes me chuckle a little bit. But one of the things that they did, they being the Department of Administration, stated that the only penalty associated with not meeting the criteria as stated in the county is that the county cannot spend strategic initiative funding on other county-level strategic projects. I mean, there is no meat in that whatsoever. I read that and I just said, why did you even put that in there? It's one of those kind of things. It's like, okay, you get penalized by saying, you know, no, you can't do it for anything else. So I had to put that in there because it made me kind of chuckle when I had it. On these topics, there's more to come after the survey evaluation goes out. So again, we'll learn a little bit more about it in February. Brings us to number six, which is open source data. We talked about this a little bit. If you take a look at the benchmarks that we had set on this other sheet right here, the very last one, F, is data. And if you turn that page, these are the open source data requirements that the state is looking for. It's nothing that we have to put out there right now. As I stated before, all we have to do is show metadata, some of these features that we already have, and then a connection to Kenosha County where those data sources can be found so that they can pull them off the state site if they need to. But I anticipate that this is going to be something that the state is going to want to be able to grab on a regular basis somewhere down the future. And again, I always like to stay maybe a step ahead, or as Marty had said, just plan a little bit in the future on this thing, because I can almost guarantee you that the state is going to ask for a majority of these things. Again, as we're looking at this, the PLSS, got it. Parcel mapping, got it. LiDAR, we'll have it. Ortho imaging, they want historical ortho imaging, which I'm not real. I don't know why they want historical ortho imaging. Got that point yet, but address points and center lines, we have that. Land use, I don't know why they want that, because again, the coding will be different. I think I'm not sure, Andy, but maybe you can verify that the coding will be different. Yeah. The zoning information, again, that will be different for everybody else, so I'm not really sure why the state wants that. We do have it for the county. Administrative boundaries, civil divisions, school districts, and election boundaries. The state already has that, but they would rather get it from the county because I guess they feel it's more accurate from the county. I don't know. So we have that information as well. Public safety, I'm not sure. I'm going to maybe talk to Gil about that at some point in time and say, I'm not sure what information you might have that
they
may want.
Are they talking like fire districts?
I guess maybe that's what they're asking for. I'm not sure. This is going to go through the survey process again. This isn't going to actually be implemented until, I think, 2019. There is a timetable on the second page after this that kind of shows when there's implementation processes for it. And I believe it's 2019 that they're actually looking for data submission on.
Yeah, I'd ask what they mean about that one because that's confusing.
Yeah, I agree, and that's in our discussion yesterday, that was the one thing that I hit hard because I thought they needed it now.
Okay.
And I was thinking to myself, this is absolutely ridiculous to get all these, and who in the world is going to be able to provide all these data sets unless you're in urban county? I mean, not too many counties I know of are going to be able to do this. They have other things that they're working on. But some of the thoughts might be, as I mentioned before, to to Mike and to Marty too, is creating some type of an FTP site that would allow individuals to pull some of this information off. And that way, we don't have to worry about trying to get phone calls for $75 to shoot out all information for, you know, area photos or information in GIS.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah, Racine County does this already. Okay. So we wouldn't be the guinea pig for this kind of thing to happen. And I think that we'd implement the data sets that we want to put out there as well. We wouldn't want to put everything out there, but maybe some things that we'd have to pick and choose what kind of materials we might put out there.
Yeah, I think we should talk through this more. There's several ways we could do
it. Definitely, but like I said, this is something that I should say Scott and I both talk about this thing. I just don't do it myself. I pound everything off of Scott. He's a GIS guy. So, you know, we just kind of thought about this and saying, you know, we just still want to stay ahead of what the Department of Administration wants. And the reason for that, again, is so that when they have funding that's available, grant funding, they don't have to apply to this. We can apply it to something else that we really want to work on that is a project that's important to us. That's what I had for this. I don't think there's any questions on that. I don't believe it's pretty straightforward. Number seven is the updating of the $50,000 grant that we got for coordinate modernization. And I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Nick. That's where things are with that $50,000.
All right. As far as with Kenosha County at this point in time, there's like a handful of critical phases in this conversion. This is for the horizontal aspect. So this was going from NAD 27, Wisconsin State Plain South Zone, NAD 20, North American Datum of 1927, and going now, still using Wisconsin State Plain Coordinate South Zone, but now migrating to NAD 83 with the latest adjustment, which is 2011. So this will be consistent with how GPS is typically collected and moving into a datum that is consistent with the neighboring counties around or for the state. So the first part, talked about Chevy versus the Cadillac, is the same concept here. What we're looking at is a method not to go back and reobserve every single corner. This is a method that what we're doing is we're selectively observing corners with GPS and then using a least squares adjustment to recompute the remaining corners.
Okay, if I remember right, the yep. difference between these two things are fairly high level in my mind. I equated it to like an iPhone versus a Droid, and that they're doing similar things but in different ways. So both the thing we used to do did it in one way, and the thing they want us to go to does it in another, and the new one is what things like Google and stuff uses, and the old one people have kind of stopped using.
It's not that people still can use it, so it's not completely
obsolete,
but it's more consistent with federal programs. FEMA requires that information is related to NAD 83, and the state is starting to require so that it's now a consistent data set all across the entire state. The island has been in the southeast at this point because it started at such an early time, where other counties got on board at a much later date. Well, a new datum was already established, and they started from using it from there. But it is a little bit more consistent with, especially with GPS. GPS, you still use GPS to, you know, with 27, you know, coordinates, but it's much more difficult when GPS will immediately reference to that datum and relate information very freely and easily to with the new datum in itself. So So going on as far as just, there was a handful of things that were critical phases that we needed to establish. One was the input of the legacy measurements into an at least squares adjustment. And we've done that already at this point in time. The second is we wanted to run a least squares adjustment on the input of the legacy measurement. So you have to hand input every measurement, both an angle and a distance. So we needed to vet that and make sure that information's complete. And we've already, you know, for Kenosha County, we've completed that. We've also made our initial observations throughout the county selectively, you know, in this entire entire area. And then we've also run our first adjustment. So I know that based on, and I've talked to you about it a little bit, I know that there are some areas where we're going to have to go back and reobserve some areas because with a legacy measurements, you'll have some shifts and twists in how the measurements were made from the 60s and 70s that are not consistent with the GPS. And what we're trying to do is identify those and kind of resolve some of those, you know, those issues in the adjustment. And the most of them are primarily on the western side of it. The eastern side seems to be very, very tight and consistent. The circle of errors that we're seeing are very round, so it means there's not a scalar change or some sort of issue with it. So it looks good. So we'll have to go back and make some reobservations to clean it up, but it's going, you know, quite well. The next step is also data mining from the existing dossier sheet. So we have to now have a means to put both the 27, which we don't want to lose, and still maintain the coordinate information. And we also want to now update it and put the new coordinate information that we're, so we'll have dual coordinates on each of the corner records for each sheet. So what we have to do is we have to start data mining, pulling information off that so we can create a database of information associated with that each record and the sketch and the affidavit, so we preserve those features, and then create it into a linkable, like an access database or a database that we can pull both the coordinates and the attributes associated with each corner record, and we have it mined. We still don't, you know, we're waiting for the final coordinates so we can attach everything together as to make the standard dossier sheet that we normally would see from the database that you're pinging, you know, for finding that corner record. And the last is also a control summary diagram, and we're kind of trying to come up with a better means to do it both programmatically and having it update more, and then instead of having it as just a simple PDF file, that it might be something that would be embedded into the database in itself. So we're evaluating that and, you know, working with Al to coming up in January to try to showcase or show if this is a viable solution, you know, to it or not at this point in time. So that's kind of with the final goal being at the end of March to have the horizontal complete. And I think we're on track.
So the total cost of this project was it 100 or?
It was 100,000. We're figuring it for, it's a two phase process. There's horizontal control, which is basically what Rob is working on now. And then there's vertical control, you know, which is anticipated to be working on in 2017. And then there is a historical aspect to it, so we may have to go back in some historical imagery in order to make these adjustments so that the aerial photos match. So the cost actually for the vertical and the horizontal are are less than the $50,000, but then you have to make that adjustment for the historical aspects to it too, and that cost is kind of, you know, in the air. We're not sure how much that's going to be, and how much work and how much time is going to be involved in it. So that's why we put the $100,000 out there.
So when we talk about $50,000 grant, that's really coming from the land monetization plan?
Exactly right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
land monetization plan.
Yeah, 50 this year, 50 next year.
Right.
Yeah. We'll cover the cost of those.
And that way we will complete the objectives that is required by the Department of Administration, and again, one step ahead of where we should be.
When would that information be used? I mean, all this conversion will become effective in 2018 then?
As far as horizontal, the data would be available for the public. I mean, at that point, if we don't want to publish it, it would just be up to, I think, the committee to really, the council to sit there and make that.
So it's available in 2017, but do you want it out there? Because
yeah,
then
right.
You're not going to have the vertical done until 2018.
That's
excellent point. And I think, you know, one of the things we have to do is we have to notify certain agencies about the change that we are actually going to be making too. The water department uses our old database, and they'll be having converting to the new database. Electric company. Scott, can you help me with a few of the other ones that we have to talk to?
It'll be the Kenosha Water Utility, Pleasant Prairie Public Works, Village of Bristol, anyone that has utilities in the ground.
So Salem.
Yeah. So I think maybe what we're looking at is a slow process, but not too slow. You know, we want to make sure that everybody starts jumping to the new information, but maintain the older information out there for a period of time? Is that what I'm thinking about? Or
yeah.
Am I thinking correctly on
that? I would agree.
Okay.
Do these guys know it's coming?
They will.
I'm just saying, do they know that we're being forced to go?
Yeah, they will. It was an oversight. And we went to a meeting at Southeast Wisconsin Regional, and that was brought up by Washington County. It's like, have anybody been notifying these agencies that they're going to have to be looking at their coordinate system in order to change to match what they have, you know, actually in the ground? And of course, I kind of went, didn't even think about that aspect of it. And I think that now we want to move forward with it. Again, that's why it would be not an immediate conversion, but it would be a conversion that would happen fairly quickly. We'd like to make that very quickly.
But then again, see, like, for instance, like when our guys go out, our public works guys go out and use their GPS, they have to use a correction
tool.
They would need to know when to stop using the correction.
True.
That's, I guess, why I was wondering is
yeah.
when we would need to be aware of that.
That's tomorrow.
So do the other utilities do the same thing that our guys do? Do they have a correction that they use to, like, override?
They would have to if they want to relate to the 27 datum. Yes.
You know, so one of the things that we're experiencing right now with the new tax and land info system is providing output data to different areas that we kind of got caught in providing the same formatted information that they're accustomed to. And let's make sure that as we go forward that we give them enough time to say, here's the data, here's the format, you need to modify your systems or your...
By this date.
Right. To take this data instead of coming back to us and saying, hey, you need to change this so it fits what you did historically. And I'm not sure that that's an issue for us, but just kind of an observation that, you know, we've struggled a long time to get the data to the format that some other municipalities would like. Instead of just saying, here's the data, you consume it. We didn't give them enough time to do that, but going forward, you know, I think that's the approach that we need to take.
Again, it was a huge oversight on my part as far as not notifying them that we're actually moving in this direction right away. And then, you know, but you are correct. We need to notify these individuals, tell them that it is coming, and maybe make a slower progress as far as the conversion is concerned on it.
Yeah, or just work with them closely to give them test files or different things.
Excellent.
That
yes.
they can start working with, whether or not the data is 100% correct. But this is the format that you will expect to see at some
point. Very, very good point. Very good point.
Excuse me for a second. Number, I think that's it for the update that we have from Rob. And he used some stuff in there, of course, that IT always uses too, some acronyms and some things that you look at and you go, well, what the heck? A dossier sheet? What's a dossier sheet? A dossier sheet is a monument corner, and a monument corner showing, you know, this is where we actually start our surveying records from. It's a point on the earth that is kind of a starting point. And a dossier sheet identifies where that location is by
in relation
other
to other things.
And a control summary is kind of showing where each one of those monuments exists and the bearing and the distances that are between those.
Correct.
So, I mean, I listen to you guys talk sometimes and it's like, what? So I guess those
yeah,
are some things that
I just
wanted to clarify.
So, you know, I think Rob did a great job explaining it. You know, typically I'd only get about 5% of what Dr. Bauer would tell
so, good job! So I got my 10%. Plus, I always felt like I was in second grade and he was yelling at me. So. Young lady.
The last one we have here, number 8, I don't know if we have to go through this or not. It's the $50,000 grant for 2017. We'd like to, you know, take that $50,000 and apply it towards the second phase of the monumentation program. I don't know if we passed that last time or not. And if not, make sure that we did. I hope that the committee here would agree to that you know, Rob can finish his work and we'll have those monumentation points done and be updated from 1926 to 1983. So I guess maybe
doesn't like doing it every 100 years.
maybe if you could take a motion.
I move to approve.
Second.
To approve the $50,000.
Second.
Okay.
Any discussion? Any further discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. That'd be great. That
Gone.
Way.
Opposed.
Rob will get paid and you'll be happy.
No.
that's all I have. Thank you very much for listening to me and kind of taking in a lot of the stuff. And I appreciate all the comments, too.
So I think number 9, we get to new business. You know, I was probably remiss with introductions because we have at least one new member or one person sitting in. That I'm not sure if he knows everybody in the room or is
a few of you, but not
any introductions by.
You want to just go around the room,
Lieutenant Ben, as far as what's.
Yeah, just to let you guys know right off the bat is for those of you who didn't know, I'm retiring in February, and Lieutenant Horace Staples here is going to be the designee as the emergency manager. He's working towards that, and I assume that's in the coming days, weeks, if not days, regarding county board approval on that. But, that will be happening in the next year. So wish him luck, and he's learning like the Dickens. So I'm Lieutenant Gil Ben with Kenosha County Emergency Management, and
Terry Jacobson, County Treasurer. We might have met once or twice.
Yes.
Peggy Bullheist, Land Information.
Jamie Basiglia, Land Information.
John O'Day, County Supervisor. Andy Buehler, Kenosha County Planning.
Mike Bashanelli, Application Services Manager.
Marty Lightcock, County IT.
Rob Mary, County Surveyor.
Al Brockmeyer, Director of Land Information and Land Information Officer. And like Gil, I could be checking out next year or two, mm-hmm. retiring, and you know, hopefully my replacement is kind of over there looking in today. That's Scott Schutze. Okay.
Joellen Storrs. I believe we've met, register of deeds.
Okay, very good.
So we kind of share county surveyor around southeastern Wisconsin. There, he covers a lot of counties.
Yes.
Is it seven counties?
As far as county surveyor, I'm 4, and then a deputy county surveyor for the 5th, and then and Washington are on there, still on their own. So
do you think there's a good potential I could have lakefront property in Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, but you might only have it for 5 years.
I got 4 feet. Putting in a tennis court.
You have to look at the charts.
As long as you don't want it for the long haul. Sure.
I'm only a mile away.
Marty, I'd just like to say, I don't know if I'll be here for the next meeting, but I'd like to, in front of the group here, thank Al, Scott, and the rest of the gang at Land Information. I can't tell you how many times I went to these guys at the last minute begging for stuff that they didn't have time to do, but they got it done anyway, and they helped me out, and thank you, Al, for all that. Helped me out through a lot of grant stuff that does, just like what WEM does to us, they do to you folks. Hey, we want this. We don't know why, but we want it, and you have to get it to them. And you guys came through for me. So I appreciate that, and I hope you'll help Horace out as he goes forward here.
Absolutely. And, you know, thank you for your contributions to the Land Information Council and your input and, you know, perspective from public safety and what other things that we should be thinking about as a group and what's important as far as protecting our citizens and our public safety employees as well. So thank you
very
much.
Thanks, I appreciate it. So. Maybe I'll get my picture on one of the monuments, maybe?
If you'd like.
The big little cameo. Everything
we'll go in there hammering it in.
Coffee mugs, you're going to get.
Something animated like Harry Potter.
Any other items to discuss at this point? If not?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much, everybody.
So you got big plans for retirement, Neil?
Nothing really, other than to get down to warmer climates in the wintertime.
Yeah.